This week's parsha is Parsha Shoftim. And the parsha says in Perek Chaf Pasuk Gimel, speaking about the Kayin HaMashuach Melchama, the Kayin that is in charge of going out to war with Klal Yisrael and making the announcements that need to be made before the war. And he says to them as follows, V'amar Aleihem, Shema Yisrael. The first words that come out of the Kayin Mashuach Melchama's mouth as he's preparing the nation for war, the troops for war, is Shema Yisrael. Atem Krevim Hayayim LaMelchama. You are about to engage today in war. Al Aivechem, against your enemies. Al Yerach Levavchem. Do not be afraid. Al tiruv, al tachbezuv, al tarzuv neim. Do not in any way be nervous about what will be, even though it's quite scary to engage in battle, and there's going to be all types of frightening noises and sights and sounds and experiences. But the Kayin Mashuach Melchama says, Shema Yisrael, listen, Klal Yisrael, you're approaching a battle, and you cannot be afraid. The Gemara in Saita on Mem Beis Amud Aleph says, Maishna Shema Yisrael. Why start with these words of Shema Yisrael? Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yechanan quotes the Halakha Rabbi Shim Bar Yochai. Amar Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael. Afilo Lekiyamtem. These words, Shema Yisrael, is not merely just a familiar introduction to his warning to Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is telling us that there is you should know that even if you only have the schus, even if all you did in your life was your mekayim, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Shachris Varvis, every single morning and every single night you said Kriya Shema, that alone is enough to be spared in battle. You will not be given over into the enemy's hands if you have the words Shema Yisrael as a schus. If you every morning said Shema Yisrael and every night you said Shema Yisrael, that's all you have to do. You don't have to be, you know, the biggest tzaddik in the world. You don't have to do any other mitzvah. Just have Shema Yisrael on your mouth and you're good. And that's what Rashi brings over here on the pasuk. Afilo ein bachem zechus el kriya shma blavad. If the only zechus that you have is kriya shma alone, kedai atem sheyishiyaschem. It's enough. It would be just enough to be saved, to be spared in battle. Based on this, the great guy Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Kovner Rav, said a beautiful pshat in Tachanun. Tachanun is a tefillah that we often abuse. I think that's the only word to describe Tachanun. Tachanun is a tefillah that everybody is so happy to get rid of. If there's a chassan in the room, if there's a bris in the room, if there's any opportunity, and if it's on Monday and Thursday and you mamish blow away a vurachim, it's like, it's joy. I had a Talmud once. Still is a Talmud, but he left yeshiva many years ago. And he used to say that he wants to write a sefer on Tachanun. And the name of the sefer, he would call the sefer, "What did Tachanun ever do to you? Why is everybody so angry at Tachanun always? That they're just the Tachanun is a very, very precious prayer. It's full of Tachanunim and beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things that we need. And it's a shame that, you know, when we don't have to, when we don't have the schus to say Tachanun, that should be a cause of concern." I think Ramesha used to like ask Chasanim like not to daven by him on mornings so that he could say Tachanun. He wanted the schus of saying Tachanun. Anyway, but the Shema Yisrael's in the middle of Tachanun, sandwiched in between the Vayemer David Al God and Misratz Abrachamim, is Shem Yisrael, beautiful tefillos of Shem Yisrael. And one of them says, Shemer Yisrael, protector of Klal Yisrael, meaning Hashem. Shemar She'eris Yisrael, guard over the remnants of Klal Yisrael. The Al Yoivad Yisrael, and do not permit Klal Yisrael to be destroyed. Ha'aymrim Shema Yisrael, because they say Shema Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, what does that mean? That means that even if they only have the zchus of saying Shema Yisrael, Val Yoivad Yisrael, they will not be destroyed. You promised that if we only say Shema Yisrael itself is a zchus to be spared. Val Yoivad Yisrael, don't destroy Klal Yisrael. They say Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael obviously has a very great protective power. And what I want to speak about this morning is, what is that special nature of Shema Yisrael that almost makes us bulletproof, that makes us able to be protected from all tzaras? Now, the Torah Tamima says, and the Chavetz Chaim al HaTorah says the same thing, a beautiful pshat, that there is a Gemara in Menaches, on Tzadi Tesum Abayz, the Gemara says, also from Reb Shim Bar Yochai, remember I said the Gemara in Saita quoted Reb Shim Bar Yochai, and the very same Reb Shim Bar Yochai, and that's what the Torah Tamima puts together, says, Afilu like kara adam kriyashma shachris va'arvis kayim v'gisa b'yayman v'layla. How much Torah do you have to learn every day? You have to learn the whole day. If you can't, you have to go to work, you have to go to college, you have to do things, so then you have a patur from learning, but really you should be learning Torah all day. But what's the bare minimum? If you want to have a day that you could chalk up that I was mekayim in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what do you have to do? Says Reb Shim Bar Yochai in Menaches that even if you just say Kriya Shema, Shachris Va'arvis, that itself is also a kiyum of Vigisa Bayayim Valayla. So meaning when you're saying Kriya Shema in the morning and you're saying Kriya Shema at night, that itself, you have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in hand. Says the Torah Tamima that this goes in lockstep with Reb Shim Bar Yochai's Vard in Saita, that Shema Yisrael gives the person fighting a war in Saras, he gives him the ability to be saved, to be protected. Why? Because Torah is Megan Umatzel. Torah has the ability to protect a person. So even if all a person is doing is saying Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, that's a kiyum of Vigisavim, you have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah is going to protect you. So anyone that's going out to war, if he says Shema Yisrael, Shachris V'Arvis, it's like he's a Kailal guy. He has the ability to have the Torah protecting him at all times just because he said Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. So that, says the Torah Tamima, is the reason for the schus of Kriya Shema to be protected from tzaras. I want to be meisif another yesaid to explain why Kriya Shema is so important. And it's a very, Kriya Shema we know is such a major part of a yid's life. Rabbi Akiva died with Kriya Shema on his lips. One of the first things we teach a child is Shema Yisrael. For my grandson, we made a Vachnacht. Vachnacht is a minig Yisrael that the night before a bris, you get some children together and they stand around the baby's crib and they say Shema Yisrael together with the baby. And there are many stories that are told about how, one of my favorite stories about Reb Lazer Silver. Reb Lazer Silver was one of the Gedalim during the war. And he was a Gain Eilam. We used to have the great schus of having of davening an Araminian downstairs on Shabbos and Yantif. A very big Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Shlomo Warman. He was Nifter several years ago. I don't know if anyone in the room remembers him, but he was a Talmud Muvik of Reb Lazer Silver. Reb Lazer Silver was a Gain Adir, and this was his Talmud Muvik. He was the principal he was a Rosh Yeshiva of Hank. This Rabbi Warman, and he wrote many, many Chashuvah Svarim, over 10, 11, really, really Chashuvah Svarim. And we had this chos of having him daven in the Talmidim that would wheel him back and forth to his house, which wasn't so far away. He would treat them to stories about Rav Moshe and about Rav Yankovic, Rav Lazer Silver, all the Gedolim that he knew. And he would tell us Veritlach about that were unpublished. And it was just wonderful to have him around. And Reb Lezer Sover was in charge of the Vad Hatzalah. The Vad Hatzalah was that during the war and after the war, there was a group of Rabbanim that were leading, Gedolim that were leading the charge to spare any Yidden that they could find in Europe. They would go and travel on Shabbos. Can you imagine a big Rosh Yeshiva, a big Rav, getting on a train on Shabbos to go down to Washington, D.C. during the war in order to, because he heard that there was a senator that was waiting for him to meet with him, anything that they could do for Pikuach Nefesh, it's Deicha Shabbos. So they would do incredible things and telegrams. They would raise millions of dollars to bribe Nazis and to buy Yidden, to do whatever they could. And after the war, after there were survivors, they would do everything that they could to make their life in the DP camps easier. They would print Sidurim and Svarim. We have Gemaris that were printed by the Vad Hatzalah. Reb Lezer Sover, one of the many things that he did to try to save Klal Yisrael was he knew that many of the Jewish children, when they were babies and the parents knew that the Nazis were about to take them away, they would go to the local convents. They would go to the local churches and give over their babies to the galach, to the priests, to the nuns, just to be able to spare the children. They knew that, you know, hopefully they would have rachmanis on their children and somehow, some way they would survive the war, even though the parents probably would not. And generally, they did not. And there were many, many Jewish children. Some of them, Nebuch, they're, you know, we have no idea who they are. They don't know who they are. They think they were brought up as Catholics, and they probably still are today. But there are many that were in these convents, and Reb Lezer Sover and another Rav would go around Europe, whether it was in Paris or whether it was in wherever it was, Poland, and they would go and they would ask the priests, "We want the Jewish children back." And very often they would say, "No, we're not giving. We don't know what you're talking about." La dam. They didn't. They pretended not to know anything. They're not giving back any Jewish children. So Reb Lezer Sover said, "Okay, we'll be back." And he came back later, like right when the kids were being tucked into bed, and he screamed out in the room, in this big room with many beds, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And the Jewish children that were old enough to remember their parents tucking them into bed at night with Kriya Shema on their lips, they started screaming, "Mommy, Tati," you know, all of a sudden, like, they had these flashbacks, and they were able to chop a lot of Jewish children just by the fact that they were able to know Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael is such a, it's such a part of our religion. It's such a part of who we are as Klal Yisrael. It cuts to the very core of who we are. So let's understand this. Let's try to understand exactly what Shema is. In this world, we're waging a constant battle. There's a constant battle that we're fighting every single day of our life. The Chavis HaVav is one of the Musar classics, brings a very famous mashal, and he says that one time there was a great general that had finished conquering like a big enemy, and he was marching into town with all of the booty and all the soldiers, and there was like a big ticker tape parade that they were making for the conquering forces. You know, the whole city was a big, he was a hero, and he was coming in, he was full of gaiva. And the Zaken Echad, an old man, comes over and like taps him. I don't think he could reach his shoulder. This general was like huge and like strong, so he probably tapped him like on his leg or something. And he looks down, he says, "What do you want?" So he said, "You have won the small battle, but prepare now for the great battle." And what the Chavis HaVav says, what does this mean? It means that battle, the physical battles of life, the wars, it's crazy hard, but it doesn't compare to the great battle of the Yetzer Hara, the battle that this general, this warrior that just conquered his enemy and feels so gaivadik and boastful, now he's going to have to do battle with a real enemy, and that's the Yetzer Hara. A person goes through life every single day, and they do battle with the Yetzer Hara. What is the greatest Yetzer Hara that we have? Now, it's true, we all have our own unique Yetzer Haras, and that's very private, what a person has to deal with. Every single person is different. Everybody has their own taibas and their own Yetzer Haras and their own passions. But the greatest Yetzer Hara, and really the underlying Yetzer Hara of all the other Yetzer Haras, is the fact that we forget that this world that we're living in is a very, very temporary and almost fake world. We begin to believe that the world around us is real. Now, obviously, it's real. I mean, you could tap on the table and you need a job and you need to eat and you need to drink, you need to sleep. Obviously, there are elements of the world that are absolutely real and you can't get around them. But that's not really the real world. The real world is not the physical world. It's not the world of materialism. It's not the suits that we wear, and it's not the vacations that we take, and it's not the cars that we drive, and it's not the restaurants that we eat in. That's not the world. That's the world that's fake. But then there's a real world. And the real world is a world of spirituality, a world that I understand that there's a God in the world. I know what my mission is in life. I know that I have to have emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I have to stay away from Avodah Zarah and from Taibas. I have to keep the mitzvahs of Hashem. I have to learn Torah. I have to be a good person. I have to be honest. I have to be ethical. That world of spirituality is the real world. That's the real world. But the Yetzer Hara loves making us believe that that's not a real world. That's the fake world. That's the world that, you know, the rabbis talk about. The real world is the jobs and the money and the IRA accounts and the stocks and the bonds and the skyscrapers. That's the world. And when you believe in that Yetzer Hara, then all the other Yetzer Haras are also on board, whether it's Taivas Noshim or Taivas Mammon. That's all an outgrowth of believing that this world is real. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Tar V'Das, Reb Shlomo Hyman, used to say that there's a Gemara in Megillah. I think everyone here learned Megillah at one point, right? Everyone in Eretz Yisrael did the Bekiah splits. The Gemara in Megillah says that Ein Sur Kelekeinu, the Pasuk says, Chana, in Tfilas Chana, she says, Ein Sur Kelekeinu, there is no rock like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzur is a rock, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong, he's mighty, he's powerful, you can't budge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara darshins Tzur to be related to the word Tzayer. Ein Tzur Kelekeinu is Ein Tzayer Kelekeinu. There is no artist. Tzayer in Hebrew is an artist. There's no artist like God. And the Gemara continues. So, Reb Shlomo Hyman wants to know, what does that mean that there's no artist? Look, God is an artist now? He's a Rembrandt? What does it mean he's an artist? So he says that there's no greater art that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created than this world. Because this is a world that people think is real. It looks so natural that people think it's real. He brings a story about a person that there was like a contest of who could draw the most beautiful painting in the whole Paris, and artists came from far and wide. And it was a painting of a honeycomb, and you know, that bees live in. And everyone had to paint it, and they didn't know who won. The judges came, and they were trying to declare which one. All of a sudden, like a swarm of bees come into the room, and they land on one guy's artwork, and they start like picking at the painting. He said he wins, because obviously it's so natural that even a bee thinks it's real. That's a great artist. Says Reb Shlomo Hyman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest artist. You know why? He created a world that's really not real. It's a fake world, but people think it's real. We go and we spend our whole life running after Taivas, running after Gaiva, running after the Yetzer Hara, and it's Ve'einenu. It doesn't even exist. It's fake. It's just a world of fake. But we run after it as if it's real. It's a mirage. The world is really a mirage. Everybody knows that. You live a couple of years here in this world. If you're lucky, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, And then it's over. And there's really nothing to show for it. All of the foods that we ate, lehevel v'rik, all of the, you know, the real estate that we own, nothing. All the money that we may have amassed goes to some, you know, kids, whether they're good kids, bad kids, whatever. Everything is gone. There's nothing really that remains. It's all fake. It's really not a world that we should be super focused on. We have to be focused on it to the degree that we need it. We need to make a parnasa. We can't like say, okay, this is a world that's fake. I'm not going to do anything. I'll just sit on my couch all day. But we have to remember not to be seduced by the Yetzer Hara that makes us believe that this is actually a real world, that there's something great about this world. It's really all very hollow. And the real world is the world that most of us tend to ignore, but that's the world that's reality. Sometimes, you know, you say when you go out into the real world, that's a misnomer. That's not true. Don't say when you leave yeshiva, you go out to the real world. This is the real world. The world in yeshiva is the real world. And halavai, we should be able to be shifted by Beis Hashem kol yimei chayai. We should be always attached to a yeshiva and a Beis Medrash and a Rebbe as long as we live, even if we're working. But this is the real world. The world out there is the fake world. That's not the real world. Now, based on that, what we just said, we can understand a little bit the kayach of Shema Yisrael. What Shema Yisrael is a statement, it's a declaration that I remember, like those children in the monastery, those children in the convent, I remember when I say Shema Yisrael that I'm a Yid, and that I have a mission in life, and that there's a God in the world. Shema Yisrael, listen, O Yisrael, first of all, means I'm a Yid, I'm part of Klal Yisrael, I'm listening. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our God. Hashem Echad, there's only one God. He's Echad, Yachad, and Meyuchad. He's the only thing that matters. The only thing, when you boil it all down, there's nothing that matters in the world other than there's a Rabbeinu Shlom in the world, and it's our job to serve the Rabbeinu Shlom in the world. That's all that matters. That's what Shema Yisrael is. It's a statement, a fact, that I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with every core of my being. In fact, the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tav Chaf says exactly this when describing the Mitzvah of Kriya Shema, Sheratza Hashem Lezakeis Amai, Sheikablu Alei Malchusai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to merit his people that they should accept upon themselves his kingship, V'yichudai b'chol yayim v'layla, kol hayom shem chayim, every day. Ki b'yay, why? Why is this so important? Ki b'yayis ha'adam b'alchaymer, because since we are physical beings, Nifta achar havei olam, we're naturally drawn towards the shtusim in the world. V'nimshel ha'taivas, and I'm going to go after my taivas. Therefore, tzarech al kolpanim zichrein tamidi b'malchus shamayim l'shamim minachet. We have to remember that there's an O malchus shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. It's so hard sometimes to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I'm so busy trying to exist myself. I don't have room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm busy trying to get into that graduate program. I'm busy trying to make partner. I'm busy trying to like buy that house and buy that, get into that business and make $1 million, make $1 billion. I'm so busy that we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Shema Yisrael reminds me every morning and every night, Shema Yisrael, you're a Yid, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and that means that there's one God, and He's Miyuchad, He's Echad, He's Yachid, He's alone, He's the only power that matters. He is the omnipotent Rabbeinu Shlom, and we have Him to tap into, and that's really the main thing of our life. And don't go running after all of the taivas of Olam Hazeh. Don't buy into this world, because this world is a fake world. As glamorous as it seems very glamorous. And it seems like exciting. And you go and you see these sports cars, and you see these athletes, and you see the celebrities, and you see the musicians, and you see the artists, and you see, you know, politicians, and it sounds like, wow, there's a real world out there. These are distractions. For a Yid, the main thing is Shema Yisrael, Shemar Sheis Yisrael, Val Yevad Yisrael, Ha'im Shema Yisrael. The protective forces that we have is Shema Yisrael. Now, why is it a protective force? Because the more that we believe in this world, if we think that this world is real, we're suddenly exposed to this world. We're exposed to this world. All of the nature of the world is against us, but only if we are really believing too much in it. the more credit you give the world, the more it's going to come and bite you. If you're able to transcend this world, if you're able to sort of live in a world that's not this world, but a world that's elevated from this world, now you're able to avoid all the bullets. The bullets that are flying are only flying below a certain level of this world. If, let's say, I'm able to live in an upper world, I'm able to transcend this world, there's no bullets there. There's no rockets. There's nothing there. We're protected up there. But down here, it's a war. When the Jewish soldiers say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad as they're going into battle, what they're really doing is they're transcending this world. They're saying this is not a real world. The world that we see it, the world of bullets, the world of hand grenades and guns and all of that, we're going to engage in battle, but we're living on an upper plane. We're living on a higher plane, and we're protected by nature of the fact that we are saying and declaring Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the greatest skula in the world for a soldier, to be able to remind himself that this is not a real world. I don't want to live in this world. I want to live above this world. And if you live above the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you and protects you and shields you, b'tzel kenafav, under his wings. And that is the greatest skula to have. And this isn't just for a soldier, by the way. This is for every one of us, because we all have a lot of things going on every single day in our life. There's a lot of tzaras that we all have. Every person has tzaras, I think. I've yet to meet a person that is like tzaras free. Sometimes, you know, you see a new guy in yeshiva and you think, wow, you know, he looks good and he acts well, and he's learning and everything is pretty, he's perfect. And then he comes over to you and he talks and all of a sudden you realize like, wow, he's got a crazy life. You never know what anyone else is going through, but everybody has something that they're going through. And a way to protect ourselves from the bullets of life, from the arrows of life, is by being mechavin when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that is going to be megen and matzil. That's going to be our protective shield. The Torah that we learn is protecting us, but even if all you're doing all day is just saying Shema Yisrael and you have kavana when you're saying Shema Yisrael to Imam Lech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech on all of the ilamis, lamada lamata, the dalad ruchais, the Zion Rakias, if you have all those kavanas, you're good. HaKadosh Baruch will take you and protect you. Not to say that your life is going to be perfect, but a lot of things that potentially would have harmed us will be inoculated from. This is really the skula, the famous skula of the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in his classic sefer, Nefesh HaChaim, if you want to look at it, it's in Shar Gimel, Eis Yud Beis, a very, very powerful skula. The Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud Mubak of the Vilna Gaon, tells us that this is a skula, that's his lashon. He says, "Emes hu inyan gadol uskula nifla, lahasir ulevato melev kol dinan uritzenes acherim shal yuchal lishle." But you want to be protected from problems in life, from dangers. If you're ever in a really dangerous situation, you know how you get out of it, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. You're mechavein, and you think to yourself, this is like the equivalent of Shema Yisrael, but you think to yourself and you say that Halei Hashem hu Elokim Amiti. Hashem is the true God. Ve'ein oid melvade. There is no one but Hashem Yisparach ba'ilam. Shom kayach ba'ilam yach v'chal ilam es klal. V'hakol molei rak achdusai ha'pashur Yisparach Shema. There is only Shema Yisrael in this world. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If a person's able to think that, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he is going to be, it's a skula nifla'a. If you're ever in a pinch and you don't know what to do, just have kavana of Einai Melvadai and you're good. I think that's the same thing as Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. The school of Shema Yisrael is a protective force because of the same reason. And he explains exactly what I said about this, that when you are able to tap into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, then you don't need any, you don't have to concern yourself with what's going on in this world. And there's many stories about the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was told by Reb Chaim, by his father, that whenever you're in a difficult situation, think about this, use the school of Nefesh HaChaim, think about Einan Mavadeh. And And there's two stories that we know about the Brisker Rav. There may be more, but we know that one time the Brisker Rav, when he was younger, came before a like a board, and they wanted to draft him into the army. And you know, when you get drafted into like the Polish army, the Russian or Lithuanian army, whichever it was, it's basically the end of your life. You can't live a life. You can't live a life as a from yid. It's terrible. And he was obviously very scared, the Brisker Rav. And the Reb Chaim says, just when you're standing in front of them, just do not be Mesiach Das. Do not forget about Einan Milvade. Do not forget Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin was the grandfather, the great-grandfather of Brisker Rav. He says, do not forget about this segul and nifla'a of having kavan of Einan Milvade. And the story goes that he did this, and the whole time while he was standing in front of this committee, he was thinking, Einan Milvade, Einan Milvade, and they let him off. They said, you don't have to go to the army, which is a nes nigla. Another time during the war, during the Second World War, his papers were not in order. You know, the Nazis were very makbid on having your papers in order. You have to have your passport, you have to have everything dated and stamped, and you know, we don't have that. You don't walk around with any papers. When you have a driver's license, no one cares about. You know, you could basically, you could be an undocumented person. You could walk around. In Germany and in Europe under the Nazis, they were very makbid, even before they were rounding up the Jews, that you have to have your papers in order. And the Brisker Rav's papers, if he would have been pulled over, if he would have been, you know, called out by one of the Nazis who were lining the streets and asked for his papers, and it was in order, it would be like, you know, achadas elahamis. It would be like he'd get killed or he'd get imprisoned forever. And he kept thinking Einan Milvade, and he was walking through the streets with Nazis all around him, and he was thinking Einan Milvade, Einan Milvade, and he was mamash just able to, like, surf through all the Nazis. He says one time he was Mesiach Das for a second from Einan Milvade, and all of a sudden he was called over by a Nazi, and the Nazi asked for his paper, and again he started thinking Einan Milvade, and something happened, and he was able to go free. Because what you're doing by tapping into this spiritual transcendence is you're avoiding this. This world is only real if you make it real, if you buy into it, if you think that, you know, the art, this great art that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created is natural, it's real, then it's a problem. Then whatever everybody else is going through, you're going to be going through also, because you're living in the world with everybody else. Whatever everybody else is shayach to, you're shayach to. But if you're able to think above this world, to the real world, to the ruchniistic world, to the Rabbeinu Shlom's world, that's a world that you could avoid the tsaris and all the difficulties that we will encounter. We could mitigate through Shema Yisrael, through being able to mechavin Shema Yisrael. Whenever we're in a danger, whenever we're in a difficult situation, just think Shema Yisrael. Now, I always used to think that this, whenever I would read about this story about the Brisker Rav, which is quite a famous story, I always think, okay, you know, the Brisker Rav is different. Brisker Rav was a tzaddik yisrael. Brisker Rav was a bucky in Shas Paiskim. He was the Marn Shal Yisrael, the Rosh Kol Bnei Agayla. Brisker Rav, you know, when his Einan Mavada, his Shema Yisrael, I'm like, you know, that's protective. But like, I'm a little guy. What am I? What's my Shema Yisrael? My Shema Yisrael, my Einan Mavada is going to be able to have the power to protect me. It's probably, maybe it's a Shvacha Einan Mavada. It's a Shvacha Shema Yisrael. So I want to just share with you a few stories that happened from the October 7th massacre. We're getting closer to the yard site. It's an unbelievable thing that a whole year has passed since that terrible day, that Simchas Torah a year ago. But you know, it's a day that I think we all will remember where we were when we heard the news and. We can't even, it's still unspeakable. It's too fresh still even to talk about. But there were amazing stories that happened as a result of October 7th that we can talk about. And there have been a lot of people that were chazim b'tshuva because of what they saw, the nisim and the neflais that they saw. As bad as the day was for so many, it was also a time that people really were able to see often a miracles, open, evident miracles. There was somebody that was named Benny Chasson. He lived on Kibbutz Kisufim, which is one of the kibbutzim that really had a terrible, terrible shechita. He and his wife spend hours and hours in their safe room until soldiers arrive to rescue them at 4 o'clock in the morning. Were they terrorists or Israelis? He wasn't sure. Finish this sentence, he told the soldier outside. Shema Yisrael. And the soldier answered, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's when they felt safe to open the door. That just shows like what we were saying before about how every Yid is shayach to Shema Yisrael. But listen to this story. One man went to save his wife, who was working as a security guard at the Supernova party on October 7th. I grabbed my guns and ammunition and jumped into the car. I shouted Shema Yisrael as I raced past terrorists, bullets flying all over, he recalled. He eventually saved his wounded wife and others and drove straight to the hospital. The Shema was an integral part of his ammunition. You see that people, I don't know how firm this person was, I don't know if he was Shomer Shabbos at all, but he remembered Shema Yisrael, he said Shema Yisrael, and with his Shema Yisrael, he was able to be mamish on the level of Brisker Rav and avoid the bullets. The bullets were flying all over, but he was bulletproof because he was able to somehow tap into the school and the flaw of Einan Mavada. I'm living in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. I don't know what his kavanas were. I don't know how high his kavanas were, but maybe maybe every Yid has this innate ability to connect with the Rabbeinu Shleilim. As far away as we might be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Shema Yisrael and we have kavana, it brings us into the Rabbeinu Shleilim's inner mechitzas, and he takes us and he protects us. Another survivor describes his escape in the car. I pushed my wife's head down, said Shema Yisrael, and roared out of there with one hand on the wheel. Bullets whizzed by from every direction. Four friends spent hours and hours running from the terror, from bullets and grenades and even axes, hiding, running, driving, hiding, until they were finally rescued. One of them said, the only weapon I had was Shema Yisrael. Amazing. These are mamish people that are being made, that the kayach of Shema Yisrael is not from the Brisker Rav. It's not during World War II. It's during this year, October 7th. People that were not necessarily Shomer Torah mitzvahs, they had one mitzvah. Ein loy ela zchus kriya Shema shachris v'arvis. They said Shema Yisrael, and that Shema Yisrael was able to catapult them to the highest levels. There's a story that's told about someone by the name of Noach Hertz. He was an Israeli fighter pilot held captive in Syria after the 1973 Yom Kippur attack. He had lost a leg when he was ejected out of his airplane and was imprisoned for 8 months. There was one moment I will never forget, he said in an interview. I was very cold, I had severe infections, and I felt that I was exhausted. I looked at the door and began to cry bitterly. I shouted, Shema Yisrael. Although Hertz was not Torah observant at that time, he knew how to say the Shema. The next morning I woke up and saw that I was alive, that I didn't die, and I decided that I would maintain optimism. Thus I passed another day and another with hope and conversations. I sang to myself, shouted things, whistled, and felt that my soul was free, that maybe I was imprisoned, but my spirit was not broken. After he was freed, Hertz and his wife continued the journey he began in prison, ultimately becoming completely Torah observant. This is the Kayach of Shema. This is the Kayach of Shema by people that aren't observant. Imagine the Kayach that we have when we say Shema. Unfortunately, when we say Shema, we sometimes don't have Kavana, and it's very natural. It's natural. We say it so often, and we have a lot on our minds. But by covering our eyes with our hands, what are we doing when we cover our eyes? Why is there a Minhag Yisrael to cover your eyes with your hands as you're saying Shema Yisrael? There are many different pshatim, and there's Kabbalistic reasons. But the most basic reason is, what are we doing when we're shutting our eyes? We're tuning out this world. Let's say I'm saying Shema right now, and my eyes are wide open. What am I seeing? I'm seeing orange juice, and I'm seeing bagels, I'm seeing lox, I'm seeing balloons, I'm seeing bachrim, I'm seeing time, I'm seeing other things. I can't have kavana and tap into the kol yachol easily with my eyes open because I'm living in this world. If I'm living in this world, it's very hard to connect with Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad. This world is a world that's so realistic to us that we can't get into that other hemisphere that we need to be in, stratosphere. But when we cover our eyes and we tune out the world and we say that this world is just a world that's meduma, it's hevel, it's rik, it's havel havalim, and we want to go into the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be close with the Rebbeinu, we want to be mistabik with the Rebbeinu Shleilam. That's already a Shema that's meaningful. That's a Shema that we can find all the schools that we need in life. Every single day we have issues, no problem. Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. Your day will be so much better if you're able, just like we know our day is better when we learn and when we daven well. When you say Shema Yisrael, and it doesn't have to be during Shachris Farvis, it could be like in the middle of the day. It could be that you're, you know, you feel like you're in danger. You're walking down an alley and people are coming towards you. You say Shema Yisrael, you say Hashem Einen Mavadei, and all the enemies will be avoided, because now you're not in this world anymore. You're in an elevated world. You're in the world of the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is a school in Nifla. It's an amazing opportunity HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And it's so important in this world always to remember that this world is not the main world. Otherwise, we'll be one of those people that go through the whole world and we're always running after things and we forget everything that we were put here for. We were not put here to engage in nonstop gashmias and nonstop successes, materialism, and professional successes. We were put here to be a yid and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we were put here. And the more that we remember this, the greater we will be and the easier our life will be. We won't have all the obstacles that the other people around us have because we're able to sort of surf over the wave of life. Just end with a story. The great Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was walking once in Manhattan amongst all the skyscrapers. You know, it's very chashuv. Sometimes you walk through Manhattan, you see like, you know, the Empire State Building, and it's like a million miles tall, and new buildings, and shiny stores, and, you know, Tiffany, and Fifth Avenue, and 34th, all the landmarks, and you're like, wow, this is unbelievable, this is the real world. Reb Shmuel Birnbaum was walking through Manhattan, he started laughing. He said, this is what people are machshev, this is the world. He saw right through it, he saw that this is a world that's not real. And somebody said about him that, you know, it's one thing to think that, but he actually believed it. He laughed, like he laughed at the world. And sometimes, you know, you have to take the world a little seriously just because, you know, you have to get through. You have to, whatever you want to do with your life, you have to reckon with the world. You have to deal with the world. You can't like laugh at the world. You can't, ah, this is fake, that's fake. You have to get through it. But at the same time, a yid has to know always, a bentera needs to remember that it's not the real world. It's not the real world. And as much as we see other people that seem to be very successful, the pasuk David HaMelech writes until him, ki loy b'maisi kachakol, le'yer achrav kevaydai, there's going to be an end of days that we're going to have to answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at that point, as much as you may have had in this world, you cannot take it with you. You cannot take it with you. You think you could take it with you, but you can't. Nobody has ever successfully taken anything that they acquired in this world with them, except for Torah, Mitzvahs, Yerushalayim, Chesed, the good that we did in this world, that we take with us. Everything else is nothing. And when we remember that Einan Movadeh, that there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and we strengthen our emunah and our resolve to commit ourselves to that singular mission, at that point, the world will begin to peel away. We'll be able to have a straight path forward. Our enemies will fall. And amidst Hashem, as we have that schus, the skula for the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael, also it should be aimed to them. You see how heroically they go into battle also, and they're singing Shema Yisrael, and they're singing words of Emunah. And I think that that's the reason, I have no doubt that that's the reason why they are being very matzliach in this battle. It's a terrible battle. It's a very difficult battle. It's a deadly battle. But they have this chus of kriya shema shachris v'arvis. And you see with your own eyes how the nisim that are coming out, that are emerging from the battlefield there and in all the other places, you see what happens. Iran is shooting hundreds of missiles. Lebanon is shooting. And for some reason, we're zeichet yeshuv. I think we just take it for granted. Like if this, somebody told me, and I think he's right, like if this would have happened, 1,000 years ago, Anshei Knesset Gedolah would have written a Megillah about it. You have an enemy that's, shooting hundreds and hundreds of missiles, and they all get shot down in the sky. Lebanon shooting, they wanted to shoot drones and this and that, and Israel shot them all down and made a preemptive strike and basically, Bli Ayin Hara for the time being, settled that. And we just go on and we put on tefillin the next morning, we're just like schmoozing. It's just a normal day. That's not normal. It's not normal that there was about to be thousands of missiles being launched at Klal Yisrael, and they were able to preemptively stop them, and the threat was reduced drastically, and we just go about our day. It's not a normal thing. It's not normal. It's because Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael, because there's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, they're able to tap into the Kol Yachol and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your side, you can't lose. It's not shayach to lose. And when we personally have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our side and we remind ourselves, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that's a school in the flow for ourselves as well, to be able to be aimed in any form of melchama, the greatest melchama being that of the Yetzirah that's telling us that there's some reality to this world that surrounds us. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.